The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
It is the 4 o'clock hour of Bob Burney Live, and I have been looking forward to this hour for quite some time. It's always a privilege and an honor when Pastor Jim Custer can make some time for us. He is a busy man. Supposedly he's retired, but he is the busiest retired dude I've ever known. And we don't have an opportunity to have him on the air very often. So, Jim Custer, it is a delight to have you in the studio today. There we go. Now we've got your microphone open.
Okay.
Yes, we saw you at the Chicken Salad Chick.
That's a neat little spot.
That is.
That's kind of refreshing.
It is. That's interesting because that's the exact word that I used with Joy when we got in the car. I said, that place is refreshing, except for some of the people we see there.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know. Can't escape that. But it was fun to see her. And to see her smiling at you, that was wonderful. That's neat. No, it's
well,
good to be here, Bob.
After 49 and a half years, that's all she could do is just smile, you know? It's too late to get out now.
Well,
how long have you and your sweet wife been married?
Our anniversary comes up this weekend.
This weekend? How many?
Well, I'll give you the numbers. We were married in August the 25th, 1962. I think that figures out to what? To
57
years.
57 years, because we were married in December of 69.
Yeah. Well.
So 60, yeah, okay.
And there's a hymn somebody wrote, Sweeter as the Years Go By. we're blessed.
Well, congratulations. This coming weekend.
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah, 25th. That's
you taking her someplace just extravagantly expensive?
Oh, yes. Yes, McDonald's. No. I shouldn't say that way. She's listening, I know.
Yeah.
We're going to do a little notch above McDonald's. I love McDonald's.
And we have been praying concerning the health challenges she's been facing, and I understand got some very good news.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we have some wonderful news. The surgeon was extraordinarily talented, and all of the tissue, the cancer tissue, was removed. And then the lymph nodes indicated that there's no other cancer throughout her body. So
that's wonderful news.
We're blessed and happy about it.
That is wonderful, wonderful news.
I was listening to you the other day when you were talking about...
You actually listen?
Oh, absolutely. I love to listen and keep thinking, how do you do this?
Well, you know, you filled in several times.
That's why I asked.
And quite well, by the way. You've done quite well.
No, that's why I ask, how do you do this? The news source, like the announcement you left the air with just 30 seconds ago. That is phenomenal.
About China, yeah.
So fresh. You must have enormous resources or access to information like that. But you had picked out an article or something that had to do with a phenomenon that they were looking for on the temple grounds, foxes or something.
Yes.
And I love to listen to your mind work as you just kind of gently laid that out and made the correct move. You went to scripture, bless you. And then you
well, did you see that before I mentioned it? Really? Because it was everywhere. Foxes at the temple. Jesus is coming back. Foxes at the temple. The prophecy of Zechariah. And I'm going, no, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. Yeah. And I read the entire article.
Yeah, I know.
And there was not a single thing in Zechariah about foxes at the temple, but people were going crazy with it.
Well, my
Isn't that one of the reasons why it is so difficult for people to take Bible prophecy seriously because of the kooks? Now, you probably wouldn't use that word, but I do. Because of the kooks that are out there, the date setters and the guys writing constant books about blood moons and this and that, and then none of it comes to pass, and they don't apologize. They just write another book. Yeah. And then when someone comes along who has a deep, solid biblical background like yourself, who believes in biblical prophecy, it is hard to get people to listen. Would you agree?
No question about it, Bob. No question about it. If I were not blessed with the family that I'm in, where I was born into a home where the Bible was center, and my parents, my grandparents loved the Lord, if I did not have that incredible depth of exposure to Scripture, I can remember when I was like 8, 9 years old having to sit in the dining room, and there was a big chart up on the side of my the wall, God's plan for the ages, and it was all, and that was just burned in my brain. But I'm sitting and listening to the guys play, you know, softball outside, football and all that stuff, and I got to sit there and I got to listen to this, and I'm thinking, why is this so important? Why is this so important? But my parents modeled. That's so key. And then the churches where we worshiped emphasize prophecy is the heart of Scripture. The Bible is a prophetic book. More statements are made announcing what's coming than there are what's past.
And Clarence Larkin was mentioned
That's
often.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
You know. Well, when you were talking about that kind of debunking that fable, I remembered the Jerusalem Post. I've got it here in my hand. I brought pictures. And what it talks about, Bob, it says they are digging the Pilgrim Road.
This is the
Jerusalem Post. And the date is July 5th through 11th, 2019. This is the ink's still wet on this
thing. Yes, yes.
And it shows you pictures and discusses what they have discovered under the city of David. They call it the Pilgrimage Road. And it's the ancient ascent to the second temple, built probably by Solomon. When Solomon built the temple, he built an access, a road, and that's what that article's all about. And I almost got in the car and rushed over here and said, "Here, Bob, throw this on the fire."
Well, I saw that. And for our listeners' sake who are not familiar with the excavations of the city of David, this is fairly new. How long ago did they begin excavating the city of David?
Well, remember that the mountain, the Temple Mount, has never been excavated. Never. They won't allow it. Not the Jews, but the Muslims.
Right.
And that's a whole story unto itself. But here, the city of David, as you know, is down in the valley, and it's down where David's temple was. Not his temple, but where his
30 years ago,
a little longer than that. Okay. As soon as they got the Temple Mount, as soon as they had access to Jerusalem, to the Temple Mount, and we're able to say to all the Jews, come to the Wailing Wall. It's now open. You can come here and pray. At that time, the next thing that happened was the Jewish archaeologists began to come in and begin to dig around the edges where they could. And they just found tons and tons and tons of stuff. The things exciting about this is we'll soon be able to go see it if you're able to go to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
This thing is under the city. It's under the city of. There are people living in houses,
right
above the head. And so in order to do the excavation, they have to go in and put in these superstructures to keep the dirt in place, keep the city in place, and then they excavate. What happened was a sewer. Are we hitting the line here? A sewer pipe burst down in the city that's in the city of David, that's down from the Temple Mount. And they went in to fix it, and then in the process of fixing it, one of the workers hit a strong rock, began to uncover it, and discovered here is a rock that is smooth. And he began to excavate the edge of it, and he came to a second one that matched. And he said, "Whoa, wait a minute.
Road.
Shut down everything."
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's a series of steps which the pilgrims would use. They would start at the Pool of Siloam, which is down there in the city of David, mm-hmm. and they would start down there with the proper cleansing and all that, and then they would walk up these steps all the way up and enter the temple right there at Robertson's Arch. Mm-hmm. They got this all mapped out, and Bob, the street is still there. It is incredible. It is phenomenal. That thing's been there. So all when the Jews would go back to Jerusalem for their feast, the three annual feasts, mm-hmm. that's what they would do. They would start down at Pool Siloam, do the proper washings, all that.
Sure.
Remember when Jesus entered the temple on the donkey? Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He would have come on those steps. And remember what Jesus said when they said, "Shut those people up. They're making statements about you, Jesus, that are absolutely blasphemous."
Right.
And Jesus said, "If they didn't speak, the stones would cry out."
So and these are the stones.
These are the stones. Wow. These are the places where the.
We've got to take a quick break. A quick break. We're talking with Jim Custer, Pastor Jim Custer. And by the way, he's going to be here for a while. I can't let him on too long or he'll just take things over. But if you have some questions or comments from what I consider one of the nation's foremost prophecy experts, and I mean that sincerely, 877-BOB-LIVE. We'll be back.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome back to Bob Burney Live, and a very special welcome back to Pastor Jim Custer. Live in the studio with me this afternoon. Jim, how many times have you been to Israel?
33, 34.
33 or 34 times.
Yeah. I got an early start. One of the teaching pastors who were fundamental to the beginning of Grace Brethren Church here in Columbus. His name was Nathan Meyer.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Nathan Meyer was one of the teachers. And he was, what he did, he said, "Jim," he said, "I'm going to give your wife a free trip to Israel if you'll pay for yours." And I thought, there's no way I can win that one. So I surrendered right on the spot and said, "Let's do that." And we went together, and we were overwhelmed, Bob, overwhelmed, just overwhelmed. This is back in 70, maybe 71, 72. Yeah. We also had three little children, but it was just, it was addictive, just addictive. And back then, when we first went, that was shortly after the war, and you could see ruined tanks, and there were still signs on fields, "Can't come in here because we haven't gone through and taken out all the landmines and all that." Yeah. All of that was very real. So we got into that opportunity early on, and it suddenly became real to me that the book, the Bible, absent the land, becomes a mystery. Take the book to the land, and multitudes of interpretive problems are resolved.
Yeah. Something I've been saying for years, Jim, and you're much more of an authority on this than I am. Much, much more. But I have been saying for years that in the modern era of Israeli exploration, mm-hmm. and not architecture, archaeology. Mm-hmm. which is the last 100 years, mm-hmm. let's say, mm-hmm. there have literally been tens of thousands of archaeological discoveries that validate mm-hmm. the history, the record of Scripture. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Am I correct on that?
You're absolutely
tens of
spot
thousands.
On. Spot on. Spot
but
on.
To my knowledge, there has never been one archaeological discovery that in any way contradicts Scripture. Is that also correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But the archaeologist goes down to the rock floor, the bed floor where the event took place, and deals with what is left there under the years and years and years of cover.
Do you remember when the skeptics were saying there is no archaeological proof that King David ever existed? Remember that? and the skeptics were saying he's one of the most prominent characters in the Old Testament, and there is no archaeological proof that he even existed. Remember those days?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. I remember.
We haven't heard that, have we?
No, the same thing's true of Moses. What do you mean, Exodus? There's no Moses. Show me anything.
That even writing existed at the time of Moses.
It was the ignorance was intentional and shallow.
Yeah. Now, how much archaeological evidence do we have of David and Solomon and his family?
My goodness, they just confirmed it again. They just uncovered some stuff in Israel which confirms some event in David's life, and I'm sitting here without the work in front of me.
Yeah.
But they just affirmed it again. The whole city of David, it was built upon the notion that this is where David has his palace. And when they begin to explore that and dig under that, they just uncovered level after level after level of confirming evidence.
Recently, King Hezekiah.
That's right.
Recently, King Josiah.
Yes.
Recently, the Babylonian captivity. That was last week.
Yes.
That was just last week.
Yes.
That they uncovered absolute evidence of the Babylonian captivity exactly the way the Bible outlines it.
Exactly.
And I also keep saying this. It's getting more and more difficult for skeptics to say that the Bible is just a compilation of writings by men.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, no, it's always going to be an easy game for them, Bob. Remember the first words out of the serpent's mouth.
Yea, hath God said.
He didn't say there is no God, that's foolish.
Right, right.
He said, hath God, do you really understand what you think you heard God say?
Yeah.
And do you understand what that means and how to interpret it? And that's where the battle rages. That's where the battle rages. In fact, in our staff meeting, SD Pastor led us to this incredible passage in Ephesians 6. It's so familiar, you could close your eyes. He says, finally be strengthened by the Lord by his vast strength, because our battle is not against flesh and blood.
Yeah.
But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenlies. This is why you must take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. What makes it evil is the fact that we must stand against the tactics of the devil. We have a spiritual, ingenious, magnificent evil person at the head of our opposition.
I would not disagree with that, because he is, and yet he is using exactly the same tactic today as he did in the Garden of Eden. It is still, did God really say that?
That's right.
Can we really believe God? Same tactic, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we've got to take another break. When we come back, so many things I want to talk about with Jim Custer, but I want to ask him about the two Muslim congresswomen who were not permitted to go to Israel, and then one was, and she wouldn't, and the deep dynamics of that for America when we come back.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.